This American Australia podcast is brought to you by understandinsurance.com.au. Protect your family and your home by preparing for bushfire season now. For tips, visit understandinsurance.com.au.
Hello, Australia. Scott Dooley's in the house today, and we are pumped.
Massively pumped.
2 hours of just non-stop radio. Oh, there'll be a couple of pauses there, so not non-stop.
Yeah. I mean, there's always the occasional dead air, but I mean, yeah. Aside from that, and essentially non-stop.
And some songs.
A couple of tracks.
And some ads. Look, it is slightly interrupted at times, not gonna lie, but when it's not being interrupted, it's 100% us, and we will be doing Minority Report today.
Yeah,
what a way! I do the best teasers for the show, don't I?
I just can't wait to see how this ends. To be honest, it's not you're going to enjoy what's going to happen. It's will it happen? And I think that's what I like about it.
We'll be doing Minority Report today, and we'll also have American Australia's Improvised Theatre, where we'll talk about Bono being on the cover of Glamour magazine as Woman of the Year. Way to go, Bono!
Way to go.
And he's got all that money and he gets that? Wow.
Young Love and Heartbreak with Scott Dooley.
I was once broken up with at the beach. I didn't live near the beach, nor did the girl breaking up with me. So after she broke up with me at the beach, we had to drive home together from the beach.
American Australia, Triple M.
I still laugh every time I hear that broken heart. Scott Dooley with me today for understandinsurance.com.au. Dools, let's kick it off with a couple of bloody great Aussies. No, not us, some other ones.
Oh, stop it, you. It's not us.
Nah, it's Evan Shea and Morgan Ruig. These are two Australian blokes. If you haven't heard about them by now, you will. They were playing at a polo event in China and they decided that they would try to enter North Korea. Pretending to be amateur golf pros, like, you know, on the amateur circuit, and go and play in a golf open in Pyongyang, North Korea, the bad bit of Korea.
Yeah.
If you don't remember what North Korea is famous for, flamethrowing people, shooting them with anti-aircraft guns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not the friendliest. No. Of the two Koreas, Let's say my brilliant career is South Korea, and
100%.
The other one's not so brilliant.
On the internet, the course is described as the world's most exclusive golf course. That's because no one can go there
or wants to,
because you'll get flamethrowered. But these two Australians, snuck their way in. They applied via email, posing as part of the Australian national team touring Asia, and then were required to hand over their passports when they got to North Korea, and they just should not have been there. And they played in the tournament, and guess what? You're not going to believe this.
They won it because they were so good.
They finished second from last. They were terrible. They were absolutely... The only person they beat in the entire tournament was a 15-year-old girl. No, seriously, a 15-year-old girl. That's who they beat. But anyway, the point is, not only did they play golf in North Korea in a tournament... Now, if these guys had been caught, Dools...
No, that's bad news.
Oh, unfunny bad news. It's funny now because it's back in Australia and it's safe and it's funny now, but not funny.
There was an American kid that did the same thing where he was in North Korea and tried to nick something, a poster or something as a souvenir, and he ended up getting kind of 5 years jail.
Yeah, no, he's there.
They don't muck around.
He's still there. He took down a poster off a wall. I think the penalty for impersonating a professional golfer on a circuit in Pyongyang, I think the penalty is flamethrower.
I think that sounds right. That does sound right. I think I read that in the PGA.
I'll check, because it might be any.
That's
aircraft.
A PGA law.
Yeah.
Ironically enough, it's a weird thing.
That's not a Korean thing. That's a straight out part of the circuit. Look, I want to open up the phone stools. 133-53. Get in nice and early. Where were you that you shouldn't have been? Because these blokes shouldn't have been, A, in North Korea to begin with, B, on that golf tour, on that game. They should not have been part of any of that. Meant to be there.
Yeah. I have a lot of these because I like people and I like lying. So when they come together, it means I can lie to people to spend time with other people that are on the other side of that velvet rope. The best one, 2010 Grand Final. As you know, Merrick and I are big Collingwood supporters. I found out where the players were having just the club only secret after party.
Oh, so like the no hanger-onerers party.
Yeah. So obviously as a hanger-onerer, I Gwen hung out there.
Yep.
And the team rolls up in this bus. And I was like, oh, guys, what's going on? And this guy at the security door goes, mate, I don't care who you are. And even if you're Eddie Maguire, if you don't have one of these pink armbands on, you can't get in to this little bar and you can't be here. I'm sorry, I don't care who you are. I'm like, all right, fair enough. So anyway, the team bus comes in and I kind of jostle my way in and say, good on you guys, good, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, can I have a look at that? So I take this thing and I walk in. The thing I have is the Premiership Cup. No one's stopping the Premiership Cup. It's the only thing that didn't need a wristband to get into this party. So I walked in, and as I walked in, all these Collingwood greats and players and girlfriends and wives and support staff and stuff see the cup and start clapping. So I'm getting a round of applause as I walk in, held the cup up, went and put it straight over the bar and started filling it with beer. That's when someone said, come on, mate, you can't do that.
I just love that they've accidentally left the cup on the bus. The thing that you've been playing for pretty much, well, for over 100 years, you left on the bus.
No, they didn't leave it on the bus. I actually grabbed it out of Jared Blair's arms. But listen, it's not who stole what from Jared Blair. It's about who got into the party.
Well, some friends of mine, Duels, they were bush bashing, you know, just paddock bashing in a car in country Victoria. And then all of a sudden, these guys rolled up in a military vehicle with guns. And they said, hey, what are you guys doing? They said, we're just bush bashing. And they went, yeah, do you know that you're in Pakapanyu? And they went, what? I beg your pardon? That sounds like a swear word. And they said, no, you're actually in an army area now. And we have like a firing range out here and cannons and tanks and stuff like that. And you're about to get blown up. So how did you get here? And they went, we missed the sign. They went, yeah, we'll help you get out of here before you get run over by a tank. Because it was like the place where they do like the range and stuff like that. Just happened to be there. That's a place you shouldn't be. 133353. Where were you that you shouldn't have been? Maybe you snuck into somewhere. Maybe unknowingly you've got into somewhere and you've just gone, oh my God, I don't think I'm meant to be at this part of border security. What's that glove doing there?
My favourites are wrong party. And it's not until the speeches that you realise you've been talking to the completely wrong Aunt Jan.
133353, where were you that you shouldn't have been? Talking about where have you been that you shouldn't have, because two Australians have impersonated professional golfers, they're not, snuck their way into North Korea, that's bad, and played golf there at the risk of probably being put in prison for a very long time.
Yeah.
But they're safe now, so that's why it's funny.
Yeah. But it's not a prison. If they did go, it wasn't a prison where they could work on their short game. You know, there was going to be a bad prison.
Yeah, it's not a mini golf kind of prison. So we're asking you on 133353, where have you been? Where have you ended up? Where have you found yourself that you know you shouldn't have been? We've got Lockie on the line. G'day, Lock.
Hi, mate.
Really good indeed. All right, where'd you end up?
We're at Federation Square and it was someone from Powderfinger, Chris Cheney, Cram from Spiderbait, and a few people playing a gig, and me and a mate convinced the security we were there to take apart Cram's drum kit. And I made our way backstage. Just parked ourselves on the beers, eating the food, and I made off with a pair of Chris's sunnies.
So you've lied and then repeatedly stolen. That's a wonderful story.
Yeah.
That's not where have you wound up. That's where have you broken and entered and then stolen from a person that you admire a lot.
Well, we didn't quite break an end, so we were let in.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was a bit deceptive.
And look, I know Chris Cheney; he's a terrific bloke. He'll be spewing your style of sunnies, but he is a demon for wearing a pair of speed dealers.
He was great. We were having beers with him, and then he sort of nicked off to do something, and then we were like, "All right, we got to go." And the sunnies were on the table, and I sort of just took the opportunity.
Do you still wear them? Do you still wear them, Lockie?
No, I've lost them, unfortunately. It was a big night.
Oh, that's a shame.
It was a big night, yeah.
You'll never find a pair of those in the servo again. thanks, Locke. Let's get to James. Hello, mate. James, we're all right. Oh, what's going on? We've got a phone lock.
Hello.
Oh, James, there I am.
Sorry, guys.
No, you're all right,
mate. Yeah, look, I was at Wanderers Cricket Ground. Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Sorry, mate. Yeah, Wanderers Cricket Ground in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So we basically turned up. I was over there staying with a friend. We turned up in this beautiful TT that she owns, Audi TT, looking up, dressed up to the nines.
Mm.
We turned up. She said to the security guard that I'm a professional cricketer from Australia that's looking to come over here to play. And they let me in the door and showed me basically around the whole place.
Oh, you smart.
That's great.
Oh. Yeah. So effectively, I'm a bum cricketer that lives in Reservoir, but they didn't know that. And yeah, I got to tour around Wanderers Cricket Ground in the middle of winter over there. So it was pretty cool, actually.
You've gone from the Reservoir Threes into playing, potentially playing for a first grade cricket team in South Africa.
Oh, look, if you can talk the talk, you can get away with anything in those kind of places.
Absolutely. The security guys would have been kicking themselves going, oh, God, believe it. I can't believe it.
I think they were almost keen to ask for an autograph. I had it all worked out for them how I was going to write it.
Who were you going to say you were? What was your name going
to
be?
Oh, no, I was going to stick to my own name, and I was going to see if they then went as far as Googling and all those kind of things. So, it was just an off-the-cuff thing to try, and it worked.
I'll give you a tip. If you're ever in India, Dean Jones's name opens a lot of doors. Trust me. I'm not going to say how I know that, but just trust me.
Good on you, James. Let's get to Johnny. Hello, Johnny.
How you going, Eric?
Very good, mate. All right. Where have you found yourself that you shouldn't have been?
The CIB and Piranha Task Force's Christmas party.
Okay. So I'm just going to explain to everybody. Piranha is not a type of dog food. Piranha was the crime force that was set up by the feds to tackle organised crime in Victoria, and we probably know them from Underbelly. So, yeah?
Yeah, that's exactly right, mate.
So you went to the Piranha Task Force Christmas party.
Yeah, by accident, mate. Me and my mate were just looking for a few beers, and we noticed this one place was pretty happening, and the bouncer outside was trying to chat up a bird, so we snuck in behind him. And to say not least, me and my mate both shaved heads, right, Harleys, looked the part.
Yeah, anyway, you look like the people that they're trying to put away.
Exactly, mate. So everyone was staring at us when we walked in, but we didn't have a clue.
That's great.
And I thought we were definite to pick up.
We do this.
Because people who do yoga don't shut up about how they do yoga. You're fitness vegans.
I've never woken up and thought to myself,
if only there was a way I could look like more of an idiot.
It's time for American Australia's Minority Report.
Okay.
This one, I am off the long run. This one could be, and I say this, this could literally be the worst group of people in Australia. All right. So if you don't know the segment, I pick out a group of people that annoy everyone and then they can call up to defend themselves. Yep. So we've done a lot of different things, you know, rock fishermen and baristas and, you know, cyclists and things like that. Mm. This is the worst group ever. If you fall into this category, please give us a call because I want to know what the hell is going through your tiny brain. 1-333-53. Give us a call. People that have those weird flesh tunnel earring things happening. You know, the big hoops. The hoops, the big hoops.
Yeah.
Give us a call, all right? Because, look, firstly, we get it. You're unemployed or a bike courier. But there are easier ways to let people know that neither you or society have any hope for your future. It's stretching enormous holes in your ear is not that answer. And speaking of your future, think about it. Sure, your future does involve more fire twirling and pubic lice than the average person. And yes, your kids will probably only see you on the weekend and in public spaces with a court-approved chaperone. But think about how much worse your horrible life is going to be with terrible ears. And yet they look terrible. They look horrible. Even the earrings are bad. They look like garbage. Literally. It literally looks like you have jammed garbage into your earlobe. And you want us to be impressed and ask you questions. Like, you know, so you can say dumb stuff. Like, you know, I'm stretching at the moment. At the moment I'm at dickhead level. But I hope to be a fully fledged F-wit by January. Like, you sound stupid. And don't roll your eyes when we ask you questions. As if we're not cool for your culture, all right? Because we're just trying to gauge how nuts you are because we know how bad your ear is going to look like when it's old. We know, all right? It's going to look right. This is how bad your ear is going to look when you finish. It's going to look so bad that it's going to be something that Donald Trump will brag about grabbing. That's what it's going to look like.
Dude, I swear to God, Dools, I thought we will get maybe one guy ring up. Yeah, man. It's actually a really cool thing that I've got.
No.
No, we have got dozens. dozens of calls. I could just tell by the way they're ringing. They're angry.
Angry calls.
They're angry. I don't even know. There's not even names on them. It just has numbers and they're flashing like, get me on the tools. I'm still team. I've just got to deliver this parcel and then I'm going to get really angry. 1-3-3-5-3 Like, I need to give out the number. It's already melted. Up next, Scott Dill is going to serve it up, and the retaliation response will come for Minority Report for people who have those big, weird, hoopy earring things. Just as a disclaimer, if you're from Africa or from another part of the world where that's a cultural thing, that is entirely cool. But yeah. If you're
a white guy with dreadlocks,
yeah, and you currently a bike courier in Adelaide, you're a moron.
A comedian is telling you to get a job. Your opinion doesn't matter. It is not important.
It's time for American Australia's Minority Report.
Okay, today I didn't think that we'd get many calls to defend themselves, but this is what it's about. We open it up and Dooley says something that inflames people, and sometimes we get a couple of calls, sometimes we get 11,000.
Yeah.
It's close.
But every time we get death threats, every time. Yeah. That's the interesting thing about this segment.
Yep. So, Dools, today you're taking a name for Minority Report. At which minority today?
People with those weird flesh tunnel earring things, you know, the big hoopy, big hole in your ear.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
Yeah, they're thinking, you know what, I want my ear to look like a jam lid, but I also want to be able to feel the breeze through the jam lid in my ear. So I'll just...
Yeah.
I'm getting involved in this too.
Don't get too involved.
Defend yourselves, Australia. Got Kyle on the line. G'day, Kyle.
How you going?
Really good,
G'day,
mate.
Kyle.
How are you?
You got now... Do you have... You've got one of these ear things. Is it in both ears or just the one?
Yeah, I've got two.
What? Why? What was your motivation, Kyle? You sound like a normal bloke. What were you thinking?
Well, I started stretching them when I was about 13, so I've had them for about 10 years now.
13? What did your parents say when you came home with a big bloody thing through your head?
They used to ask if they were bigger, but I kept saying no because I'd use the same colour.
Okay. How big are they now, Kyle?
34 mil.
Jesus.
So 3.5 centimetres wide. That's about the size of a 50-cent piece?
Yeah, about that.
Okay.
So what happens when you don't want them anymore, Kyle?
Can they
fix them up?
No.
Because I imagine they don't go back to the normal size, right?
Yeah, you need to get plastic surgery to a plastic surgeon, or you can go to body modification places and they offer the same thing. So you can get the ear looking how it used to look, but you cannot re-stretch them again. You can re-pierce them, but you can't re-stretch them.
Okay. Do you reckon you'll do that, or you reckon you're going to see this through?
Well, down the track I will, but for now I'm still liking them, so I'll keep them.
Okay.
Do they hurt?
Nah, they don't hurt. When you stretch, they do, but when they're healed, they're fine.
Kyle, have you got tattoos as well?
Yeah, I do.
Which do you think you'd be more likely to regret when you say 50?
Probably the ears.
Yeah, I reckon too. Yeah.
It's interesting. Hey, Kyle, thanks for your call, man.
Massive holes.
But when I'm 50, they're going to be looking normal again because I'll be getting the surgery on them.
That's the way. That's the way. Yeah. Mutilate your body, fix it up. That's
we'll
the way
all
to
have bloody horns in our head or something by that stage anyway. Don't worry about it, Kyle. Ears are the least of our problems by then.
Yeah, no, he's right, though. When I get to 50, I'm going to get a knacker lift. There's not much difference in that. Hello. Let's start. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, very good indeed. You've got these big holes in your ears?
I got one in my left ear.
Right, just one?
Yeah.
Just one. Left ear, Lester.
That's it.
What was your motivation?
My mum said no, so I just did it anyway.
Okay. Right. Your mum also
told
you
didn't
to...
say you shouldn't go to law school, isn't it?
Yeah, that would have been good as.
I was going to say, your mum probably also told you not to spend so much time underneath your doona. So have a think about that one as well, Lester.
How big's yours, Lester?
How big's the hole in your ear, mate? Oh, Lester's gone.
The hole overtook his whole head.
He's got a big day of disobeying his mum today. So he's head off. Hello, Ben.
Yeah, g'day, fellas. How you going?
Yeah, real good.
G'day, Ben.
All right.
Ben, how many... Do you have both ears done or just the one?
No. I've got a story on how to stop these blokes.
Oh, okay.
Ben, kindred spirit.
They're flogs, are they?
Yep. So what you need to do is you need to go buy yourself a padlock, walk up behind them, and put the padlock in their hole.
Don't, no, I'm going to say don't do that. That's made me feel a bit squeamish.
Oh, man, that is very funny. You know what, though? Even funny if you use a bike lock. You know, just, when they're asleep, just sneak up to them, slip it through, get their bike lock on there, and just say, it's got kryptonite written on the side of it. Good luck.
I am withdrawing myself from this statement. So when the Australian fire departments from around the country are being called out to get padlocks off blokes' ears, it was Merrick and Ben.
Yeah, guys, we've got an emergency at Lester's house. He's got a bike lock in his ear. Duels, as you know, I've got two great mates and great producers in, oh God, I've forgotten their names now. Oh, hang on, no.
Wait.
Liam and the portly fellow, what's his name again? Leon. Leon.
It's a brave man to do a sight gag on radio, but Merrick Watts is that guy.
And Leon, my executive producer, is in the studio now because you apparently want to take issue with one of my workplace practices.
Yeah, I wanted to bring it up on air because that's the only time you listen to yourself. Maybe you'll learn something here.
I can't argue that. That's true.
I've been holding onto this for a while, but there was a news.com article that came up today. I thought it would be perfect to bring it up.
Okay.
It's just about a report around the average hours in a work week and that in Australia they're going down.
Mm.
And you always say you're a hard worker.
I am. I work my ass off around here.
You do. Yeah. And you're always busy.
Yeah. I am. I'm a busy guy.
Yeah.
Got a show to make and, you know, I work hard. Yeah.
So remember on Monday when our boss wanted to have a chat with you and he said it wouldn't take long at all?
But I was busy.
You were busy?
Yeah, I had stuff to do. Why?
Because you had to go in the studio with Liam.
Yeah, I was in here.
Yep. We were recording audio and just so yes. You were very busy, were you?
Yeah, I had too much on. I was flat out. Well, I had some stuff to do with Liam. Right.
Okay, so we've got some audio from Monday when you were really, really busy.
Hang on. No, is this the stuff we recorded, or was this, or did you record stuff?
I was recording stuff that you didn't know. Can you just play the audio, Liam?
Sure, this is the first one.
Okay, you've got choices here, right? Number one, you can either be killed by six hyenas, right? Five of them are adults, one's a juvenile, it's inconsequential, or you get killed by an anaconda. Go, what's your choice?
Hyenas.
Why?
I'm gonna kick the baby one in the head.
You're gonna fight off six anacondas. No. I mean, a lion can't, but you can.
No.
Are you a lion?
No, I'm going to kick the baby hyena before the adults kill me.
Why are you gonna kick the juvenile? The juvenile's just learning.
Get a shot in.
Just the learning.
Scare it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You're gonna fight off some hyenas. Wrong. The answer is actually anaconda.
There's no answer.
There is an answer because I just gave it.
You're going to die.
Yeah. The answer is anaconda.
You're gonna die in both scenarios.
Yeah, but the answer... Yeah, you're going to die in both scenarios.
Yeah, so there is no answer.
But the answer is anaconda. I don't understand why we're having this conversation. This is ridiculous. It's clearly anaconda.
Okay.
Can I point out that both those voices are parents? Both of those men are fathers. Both of them.
So I interrupted that conversation and I said, our boss wants to chat to you. Have you got 5 minutes? And you
no.
said, no, I'm doing something.
I said, tell him I'm busy working.
Yeah, I left the room and I kept it rolling. And here's what you had to say after that.
Okay, now it's people. Who would you rather have smother you to death with a pillow? Okay. Maggie Beer, the cook, right? After you've eaten some of her delicious ice cream. Or David Attenborough.
Oh.
That's
a good one.
Isn't it?
Isn't
David, it good?
Either way,
that's
like
a good one.
This is my favourite one.
Is David Attenborough narrating his mother
yes.
and me?
Yes, he is. Oh, the whole time. He's narrating whilst he's cutting off the oxygen supply with a pillow, but he's talking. You can hear him.
Attenborough.
Guess what?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, well absolutely. Yeah.
Jesus. So can we catch up with the boss tomorrow?
No, I'm just thinking this stuff should be on radio.
Oh, God.
Yeah, why have we wasted that? Don't you think, Duels?
That's a segment. How do you want to go? That's a segment. We can get... My old man's a funeral director. He'll sponsor it. We're good.
Time for this.
Australia has the big pineapple, the big banana, and now, thanks to Triple M, it's got the big question. The only difference is you don't have to spend 6 hours in the car to get to the big question.
This time next week, the free world America will have a new president. Will it be Donald Trump? A week ago, we probably would have said, nah, not a chance in hell. Well, he's currently 1% ahead of Hillary Clinton in the polls. Dools, you are broadcasting live from New York. We obviously have a satellite link. You live in New York. And also, you've been following the debate and you've been following the election process very closely and, I suppose, videographing it.
Yeah, so I've been doing a little series called Voters, which is online. You guys have been putting it up, and I went to the conventions, the Republican and Democratic conventions, spent time with kind of different people that are involved kind of more on the public side as opposed to the politicking. It is so weird, Mez, here. Every single day, something new happens that completely throws the entire election into disarray. So at the moment, and the thing that's seen Trump get this bump in the polls has been the allegation of new emails and the inference that there's going to be a new investigation opened into Hillary Clinton's emailing. Now, to tell you how this happened, because Comey, who is an FBI director, said, listen, she's got no questions to answer here. That's fine. Let's get on with the election. The FBI said that they would not release anything that would potentially affect the outcome of the election 8 weeks out. So 11 days out, this thing's come out. Now, the reason it's come out is the only this election could have it is because the husband of one of Hillary Clinton's top aides is a guy called Anthony Weiner, who was a New York politician. He ran for mayor. He got done for sexting, has been alleged to have been sexting a 15-year-old girl. So they're having to go through all of the files that are related to him for child pornography.
Wow.
So this is a link to a child pornography investigation.
Yeah.
I mean, what other election in history would we say, oh, yeah, no, that makes sense?
It's just, and what's funny is it's oscillated back and forth, you know, where like there's been a few times when I've breathed a sigh of relief thinking, oh, okay, Trump's not going to get into power because he terrifies me, particularly his relationship with Russia and the other superpowers really worries me. His diplomacy on an international level is terrifying. And I would feel more, although I don't necessarily, I'm not a Hillary Clinton fan, I just feel as though she would have better advisors around her who would be able to control her, or not control her, but be able to advise her correctly. And Donald Trump, I think, scares Australians. Like, you know, being here, Duels, I think Donald Trump, we think, is a bit funny. It's a funny joke unless he gets into power. He's currently 1% ahead in the polls. And we are week away from knowing whether or not the Americans have a new president.
I did an interview the other day and, you know, talking, you know, I guess it's coming up a bit later on, who was in Hacksaw Ridge, also served as a member of the United States, a member of the Australian Defence Force. And the question this person asked me was, why are you so interested in it as an Australian? And I said, you know, beyond the fact it's a complete, like, it's like sport over here, man. It's not politics, it's sport. You go out and you barrack for your team and you cheer them on and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that is the fact that if you are an Australian who knows someone in the Defence Force or is in the Defence Force or whatever it is, the person that gets elected in America can really decide their fate.
Absolutely.
Literally.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what's terrifying. You know, the people who would be having children that, you know, potentially could be conscripted. I know that sounds like it's a pretty long way down the track, but that's what's happened historically in the past. You know, when people go to war and it gets ugly, at the moment, you know, geopolitics is a really frightening place. That's a whole other conversation. The big question today on 133353 is, if you're an American living here in Australia, we want to hear from you. How do you feel about this election? Do you want to stay here if Trump gets into power? Do you want to not go back? Do you want to live here forever? Will other people, if Trump gets into power, will they relocate to somewhere like Australia where it might not be, you know, as crazy? Because there's been threats from Hollywood stars saying, oh, if Trump gets into power, we're gone. We've already got some calls coming through. If you are an American living in Australia, give us a call. We want to find out from your perspective what is going on in the States. Scott Dawes with me this afternoon, and we're asking on 133353, if you're an American living in Australia, what do you think about the election next week? Because this time, in 1 week's time, there will be a new American president, and it will either be Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. And I'm terrified of at least one of those options, Duels. I thought we might get one or two people living in Australia, Americans living in Australia, who want to call through. We actually have a full bank of calls.
I'm interested to see what people think.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we're going to do right now. Let's hear from people who are most affected by this decision when it comes down. Ken, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Really good. First of all, whereabouts are you from in the States?
I'm from Georgia, so I'm in, like, southern states anyway.
Okay, all right. And how do you feel about the two candidates? And do you have a particular like or dislike of either of them?
I'm absolutely terrified of both of them. They just scare the mess out of me.
Yeah.
What's your issue with Clinton, Ken? Because everyone kind of has a fairly good idea as to what annoys people about Trump. But Clinton's a bit murky and people kind of have different reasons for not liking her. What's yours?
My reason is just mostly because I don't like the whole email stuff. But, I mean, that's light compared to just Donald Trump. I mean, I don't want him to have nuclear power. I mean, that's the most...
I know, it's terrifying, isn't
it? Messed up thing.
But also, too, you know, his foreign diplomacy is just, it's kindergarten level. It's childish and it's ill-informed. I mean, at least she has got experience in foreign diplomacy.
Exactly. I mean, just looking at it, it's Donald Trump. I mean, this dude's been on reality shows. Mm. What's the point?
Yeah, but you had Ronald Reagan as a president, mate, and he was a cowboy in Western films.
Yeah, but everybody liked Ronald Reagan. That's true.
He was an excellent cowboy.
Yeah, you got us there, Ken.
Yeah, you got us there, Ken. He was an excellent cowboy. Well played. Points to Ken on that one. Ken, thanks for calling through. We're going to move on because we do have lots of calls. Let's get to Tamara. Hello, Tamara.
Hey, boys. How you doing?
Really good
thanks.
Indeed. All right. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm an American citizen that lives between the United States and Sydney, Australia. I'm obviously in Australia at the moment. I'm going back to Nashville on Monday, just in time for the election. I'll be home for 2 months. And, I mean, Trump terrifies me, truly terrifies me. That having been said, I'm biased because I've been a Clinton supporter since he ran for president in 2008. So I'm certainly not impartial, but in terms of who could actually lead the country and not, you know, get everybody blown up, it's not Donald Trump.
Tamara, have you noticed a difference in people's attitudes in Australia since the election started toward you?
Sort of, but, you know, yes and no. The thing is, what I have to keep trying to, I mean, it's not my job to educate Australians on what the difference is between Australian and American politics, but if people want to know, and like, because people are, I've got a lot of friends that are like, oh, Trump's going to get in, you know, it's terrifying, but he's definitely going to get in. I'm like, yeah, but what you don't understand is the American election is not decided by popular vote. Like it should have been, if it had been decided by popular vote, we'd be living in a very different world, because our Gore would have been the president of the United States. He won the popular vote. Mm. He did not win all the votes from the Electoral College because of the state of Florida.
Yes, correct.
And so it's very, very different to Australian politics. And anybody that, you know, that asks me, I'm, you know, more than prepared to explain the difference, because as Australians do correctly point out, what happens in the United States very much influences world politics.
Yes.
And it influences to a great degree what happens in Australia.
Yeah, absolutely it does. And I mean, that's the thing that scares us, Tamara. Here's the thing too, you know, it's arguable about whether or not economically America will be in a better position, whether or not its immigration policies will be more humane. It's, you know, there's a lot of conjecture about how that the internal machinations of America will run under Donald Trump. But the thing that, you know, you're talking about affecting everybody, and the thing that terrifies, I think, Australians is that we're sort of saying it with a whispered breath to it, is that we are fearful of a war on a really, really massive level. We are talking
about,
and it scares me, and it scares a lot of other people that, you know, somebody like Donald Trump could be stupid enough with his diplomacy or lack of diplomacy to trigger a third world war with Putin moving, you know, a really large military assets around the globe. It's terrifying everybody. Do you think?
No, absolutely.
Do you
and
think?
And I think that's a very valid point.
Well, do you think tomorrow, when it comes to vote next week, Americans are going to consider that, and are they are going to support somebody that they fear may trigger a massive war?
This is the deeply confusing thing about the United States. Living in Nashville, Tennessee, it's what's referred to historically as a red state. It, 9 times out of 10, will vote for the Republican Party, which is, you know, which is red in color. And I have known people my entire life who are Republicans that I respect that have come out of the woodwork to now support Donald Trump. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, he's for building a wall and he's for evil type of things and he's buds with Putin. And like, and their response to me is, oh, yes, but he's not a politician and I believe what he says and he's going to get it done. And I'm like, that's a little kid's answer. That's not what what Americans don't actually understand is the power that they have in their vote. Well, they don't get it on a global scale. That's what scares me.
It's like the premise to a Disney film where it's like, you know what? This baby's an outsider. Maybe he should be the president. And it's then we see the second act.
That's what we're all hoping. Look, honestly.
President tomorrow, baby.
No. We're hoping that people will not do that, but we're hoping that people will have as much logic as you've displayed tomorrow and vote for somebody who is not Donald Trump. I don't care who it is. I mean, free to vote however you like America, just so long as it's not Donald Trump. Glamour magazine, Duels, one of our favourite reads, has just named and put on the front cover of their magazine their Woman of the Year, who happens to be Bono from U2. So, I mean, there was there was that period that he had the ponytail. Maybe that was the...
Zoo TV? Was that Zoo TV?
It was such a weird decision. Obviously, him being a man, a few people have been trying to figure out what and why. And I think...
If only there was a way to get to the bottom of it, man.
Oh, but there is.
Really?
Yeah. Theatre.
Merrick and Australia's theatre company presents Bono is named Woman of the Year. Today, Scott Dooley will play Bono and Merrick will play the dude who explains to Bono that he has just been named Woman of the Year.
Come in.
Oh, hi, Bono. My name is Wow.
What?
Nothing.
Just obviously there is something because you looked me up and down and then said, wow. Do you think I'm the size of a toddler in real life and that I should be wearing overalls made by Oshkosh Bagosh? Is that what you're getting at?
No, not at all. You would look adorable in a romper suit, though.
You know, leprechaun hatred is a real thing, you know.
No. I love leprechauns.
So you do think I look like a leprechaun? Well, this is a very great start to the meeting. Who are you? Actually, you know what? Don't tell me. I'll look you up on Facebook because I own it.
Well, part of it.
Part of it. Yeah, I did. What are you here for? What are you here for?
Okay. Look, great news. Actually, Glamour magazine has voted you Woman of the Year.
Okay. I'm a man. Is this a joke to you? Is this a big funny joke? You kind of thought, I'll do a funny joke for Bono. Is this a funny joke?
No, it's not. It's not a joke. It's actually a really huge compliment that a woman's magazine that normally features a woman as Woman of the Year has decided that you are so non-threatening and underwhelming as a man that you'd make a great Woman of the Year.
All right, I'm just going to level with you, buddy. I am very close to punching you in the kneecap right now. Very close.
Do you want me to get you a stool? Do you need a little...
I mean, would you mind? That would actually help, you know, because I'm quite sure... You know what? F*** you. I'm not a child. I'm not a midget. I'm not a leprechaun. And I am certainly not a woman. I'm Bono. And who are you? Who even are you? What are you? Who are you?
I'm the Edge.
The what?
The Edge. I'm your guitarist.
Never heard of you. Sorry, mate.
The end.
Well, it's probably one of the most anticipated films of the year. Hacksaw Ridge is in cinemas everywhere today. It stars Andrew Garfield, Vince Vaughn, Sam Worthington, Hugo Weaving, Teresa Palmer, Richard Roxburgh, and our very next guest, not only a star of the film, but also a consultant to it, former specialist operator in our commando regiment in Australian Armed Forces, Damien Tomlinson. Welcome to the studios, mate. Great to have you in.
Thanks for having me in, mate.
Mate, first of all, how did you get the gig being on Hacksaw Ridge?
I'd studied for 3 years at a Meisner Technique studio because I broke my back snowboarding, making a push for the first Paralympics, and I wanted something a little bit different, and creativity's never been my strong point. So I decided that I'd throw myself as far into the deep end as possible. And then 3 years later, I had one of the teachers from the school sort of basically put me onto a movie that they were making.
And you obviously worked very closely with Mel Gibson as well during the course of the film.
Yeah. I mean, he was absolutely brilliant. You know, he was great. The work that he did to make stuff comfortable for me, and how open he was to, I guess, my angle on some of the military side of it, you know, staying true to things that had happened. We hired one of the medics who actually worked on me that night in Afghanistan, where I was lucky enough to get saved in 2009. I'm not lucky enough. I mean, pure talent on his part. Had him work out as Andrew's direct liaison for how medical work was done in World War II. And when we shot the major scene that I do in the film, which is quite a harrowing moment, I think, for anyone involved, he had my fiance, now wife, sitting out next to him in his video city, you know, and basically made sure that I had all the support necessary just in case something went wrong for me. So he just, yeah, I can't praise the guy high enough.
And what was the injury you sustained?
I lost both legs in an IED explosion. I had my right arm busted, my left arm busted pretty badly. Part of my face got ripped off, which is great because now I've got a new nose, which is...
It's a great nose, though.
You're looking a million bucks.
Pretty happy, mate. You could have mine. They could have given you my nose. You've done okay.
But yeah, so and I think...
How do you emotionally prepare for that? Because, I mean, just hearing about it sounds like a really, you know, traumatic thing. And to the point, I kind of felt a bit weird asking you about it. How do you go back and put yourself in that position?
I'm more worried, to be honest, about the guys who saved me and their headspace with it, you know, because I don't remember the incident. I don't remember anything that happened. So mine was just entirely working on a specific in with the scene on where I had to, like, emotionally break, which... You know, I used just a Meisner technique, an acting technique, to actually get to that spot, which was my wife holding a child, was the thought about it, of not being able to get back and see her. So, you know, and that's
how that broke you down for the screen. That's like how intense it is that you have to tap into something like that to kind of get the emotional cord for the scene.
Yeah, find something. I think my Meisner technique acts on an element of truth. You find an element out of your life and then insert it into the circumstance that you're around in a scene. And at that stage, I had to sort of find a way, and there is a way during that scene that I could get to that spot. There's a trigger that could really set me off with it. So after the first take, Mel came out and sort of said to me, he goes, look, you know, I just need more. Can you open your teeth up? He's excited and stuff like that. Then he went back in. I gave him the second take, and he came out and slapped me five. He just goes, that was amazing. I'm like,
wow.
Mel Gibson came out.
Because he could have slapped you heaps of different ways too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you never know.
But I didn't know whether that's just what Hollywood was like. I thought, oh, okay, I wonder whether he's happy with it, whether it's real. And then, like, my fiance comes out and I'm like, look, darling, what, was that genuine? Like, because did that just happen? And she's like, yeah. I turned around and looked, and there were five or six other people in the tent all crying watching it.
Wow.
So, you know, I mean, just having the opportunity to give Andrew Garfield that sort of base to work off to put in the performance he did in the film was just, it's just a privilege to be part of. Yeah, it just left me speechless, you know. It's brilliant. I've been lucky enough to see it two or three times, and I thought that I wouldn't cry after the last one, but you still do every single time. It makes me shed a tear. It's just, it's amazing.
Well, Hacksaw Ridge is in cinemas everywhere from today. No doubt it's going to have a massive weekend in the cinemas this weekend. Damien Tomlinson, mate, congratulations on being in the film, and great to have you in and have a chat about it. Hacksaw Ridge out now.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate it.
Scott Dooley with me. And Dool's, big news that apparently Jerry Seinfeld's coming to tour Australia.
I saw that.
Yeah, isn't that big news?
Very excited.
He was the fastest selling comedian, and I think the highest grossing comedian, but certainly the fastest selling comedian to ever step foot on our shores when he toured here last time.
I remember he toured here last time and he went and watched the NBA basketball at the North Sydney Leagues Club, because I was a member at the North Sydney Leagues Club and it was in the newsletter for the North Sydney Leagues Club that him and his entourage went to watch game four or something.
He also made some very disparaging comments about Melbourne as well and said it was the arsehole of the world, if I'm not mistaken, or words to that effect anyway.
But really?
Yeah.
Your move, Auckland.
Yeah. See if you can trump that. So here's an interesting thing, Dawes. I don't think I've ever told you this, but years ago, you might remember, Seinfeld hadn't done any television shows at all after Seinfeld. And then he had a new project in the works, and everyone kind of knew that Seinfeld was working on this new TV show and it's getting it up, and it was called The Marriage Ref.
Marriage Ref, that's right. I do remember that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So anyway, they were talking about how they were going to roll it out internationally from day one, like almost straight away. They were going to have individual hosts in individual markets right around the world who would do the same version of it. I get a phone call one day and they say, we want to talk to you about this show called The Marriage Ref. And I said, oh, I don't know. I don't know what that is. And they said, Jerry Seinfeld's going to be the host in America. It's his project and he's the producer. What do you think now? And I said, yes. And they said, And they said, do you want to know what it's about? And I said, nah. Just yes. Yes is the answer to that.
What did you think it was when you heard that? Knowing nothing, did you think it was going to be like a scripted sitcom?
100%. 100%. Yeah. But then they did say, they said, look, it's actually a hosting role. And I went, okay, whatever. Jerry Seinfeld. How can this not be the best thing in my life? Oh, I was so excited. I literally could not sleep. And then they said, okay, Jerry's seen, we've sent him some material of you. These are the producers here in Australia. They said, we've sent him some material and he likes you. He's seen a few people, but he wants you to do the gig. So you're the guy.
Wow.
You're the guy. And I went, what, really? I've got it. And they go, yeah, you're the guy. All you have to do is fly to America. We're going to fly you over there first class. You're going to fly to America. You're going to watch Jerry do the show and then you're going to return to Australia and you're just going to do The Marriage Ref. And I went, this is just a little bit too awesome, yeah?
Like, that's mental.
I know. That's it. You're going to go and hang out with Jerry probably for about a week and you'll watch how he does the show. Then you're going to come back and you're going to be Jerry Seinfeld, Australia version, light.
Exactly.
Very light.
So you just went out. You just went out and just bought all the white runners you could find.
So many. Got my hair permed. Went and got it in the back. Just got it all
started
ready.
Started wearing some puffy shirts. Yeah.
And then they said, look, we just want to, you know, we'll show you some vision of the show. Because I said, oh, look, I'd be really curious to see what it looks like. And they said,
yeah.
And they said, oh, it hasn't gone to air yet. And they said, look, we'll get it for you as soon as we possibly can. And then just before I was kind of getting ready to sign off on this thing, I saw a preview advanced copy of The Marriage Ref. And I went, I said, what? And I said, oh, I can't do it. And they said, why not? And I said,
no, why not?
I don't like it very much. It's not my thing. It's just not me. And they went, but it's Jerry Seinfeld. I know. This is not an easy thing to say. But and they said, they literally said to me, are you turning down Jerry Seinfeld? And I said, I think I am. And they went, you might live to regret this.
I'm going to go out on a limb right now, Merrick Watts, and say you're going to live to regret telling this story before Jerry came to Australia to promote his shows, because we will now not be able to interview him. And I was really excited about meeting Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I've just destroyed that for
Thanks
you.
For that.
I'm the guy who said no to Jerry Seinfeld, and then Jerry Seinfeld said no to me. Hakuna Matata.
Merrick has clocked off after another hard-working day.
People who work in radio have got it pretty tough.
That Merrick in Australia podcast was brought to you by understandinsurance.com.au. Protect your family and your home by preparing for bushfire season now. For tips, visit understandinsurance.com.au.